Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Module 1 and Session 2 of the Truth Bible School. And our title tonight is Nothing Hidden. Nothing Hidden. And we're going to really look at being set free and how to help other people be set free from guilt and shame. And you could really entitle it as well, Living with No Regrets. Hallelujah. Living with no regrets. And by the time we finish this evening, I'm praying that every single one of us in the room here and everyone listening online will have such a revelation of what it is to be free that you will leave here with no guilt and no shame from anything that's ever happened in your life. But for that to happen, we need to know the truth, because the truth sets us free. So we need to see. So it's not just wishful thinking, what the Word of God says about how to walk in this glorious freedom. If you think about it, probably we can all think back to things we wish we hadn't done, hadn't said. If we think back far enough, we can think, if only I could live that moment of my life again and do it differently. But the enemy can use that as a powerful tool to bring us down, crush our faith, make us feel regretful and inadequate, and that all reduces our sense of freedom. But I'm going to show you tonight the ingredients as to how God has totally set us free from guilt and shame and holds us not guilty and holds us without blame. Is that all right? I think it is. Now, my first subheading is coconut sponge. Coconut sponge. Jackie had some of it. And it was lovely. Thank you. I love you, Jackie. I took Jackie some coconut sponge to help her feel better. But I've taken up cooking recently, and I'm loving cooking and experimenting with different things. And so I looked up a thing in my Jamie Oliver book, and I was going to make this I did make this coconut sponge. So you make the base, the sponge, which was turned out lovely. But then I went into the supermarket and I bought the most beautiful large blackberries that I've seen for a long time. And basically this coconut sponge has a sponge, blackberries all melted down, and then the coconut, and it was organic, over the top. What I'm going to do, guys, I'll make you one for after church before we break up for the summer holidays. But with the blackberries, you melt them down with the sugar and the lemon into a pan. But the instruction is once it warms up, it'll produce a foam that you don't want with impurity that you're going to take off the top and get rid of. So by the time the blackberries and the sugar and the lemon has reduced down, it's beautiful. And the smell in the house was awesome. Now, right from the word go with the blackberries, they looked fine and perfect. You wouldn't think there was anything wrong in there. It looked good. It looked great. It looked fine. But when it was brought under heat, the thing that you wanted to scoop off that was spoiling it came to the surface and it was taken off. In other words, the scripture says that which is hidden in darkness was brought to the light. Now, when we come together in church and the Holy Spirit begins to move amongst us, when we become accountable to God and to one another, there's a kind of heating up that brings that which would spoil the beautiful flavour to the top, so God can scoop it off with the blood of Jesus and you end up with a beautiful product. Now, when I make this for the church, you can decide whether it's a beautiful product. And I know Pinder's level of cooking is way above mine, so I'll be interested in what Mark has to say. But nevertheless, it shows this principle in Scripture. The blackberries looked beautiful, but when heat was applied and the blackberry sugar and lemon foam rose that needed removing, it was there. I couldn't see it, but it was brought to light when heat was actually placed on that. When the Holy Spirit moves, that which is hidden in darkness is revealed. Now, in our lives, we're still talking about light and darkness. And there's a battle in our lives because God wants us to be full of light and full of life. But what the enemy wants to do is encourage the flesh. So there's hidden sin and hidden things in our lives, things that are not of God, which spoil the sharpness with which God wants us to move and the clarity and the confidence. And even regret and guilt and shame are things that are often hidden in something that looks beautiful in our lives. We can look like beautiful blackberries. These were massive. They were shining. They just looked absolutely fantastic. But there was some stuff in there that needed to come that was out that was actually spoiling the overall thing. And so when the Holy Spirit moves, that which is hidden in darkness is revealed. And this is not a threat, even though it may expose a sense of guilt and shame. It's based in God's love for us so that the end product is delicious. And God wants us all to be delicious Christians. Amen. DC for short. He wants the light and the life and the joy, the things the enemy wants to spoil, that through doubt and fear and everything, God wants that exposed so that that light can shine forth through our lives. Hallelujah. And as I walk you through this tonight, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will just show you if there's those spoilers in your life. It's not because you're sinful or evil or anything, but just stuff God wants to say, I don't want you to have to carry anymore. I don't want you to have this in your life, because it's stuff you're carrying around that I want to bring to the surface. Now, 1 John 1:5, don't worry too much about these scriptures. I've printed them all out for you to take away at the end. But 1 John 1:5 says, subheaded, walking in the light. This is a message we've heard from him. This is a message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Now, we are children of the light, and God's changing us from one degree of glory to another. So anything of darkness, and I'll show you practically later on how to walk more accountable, but in my life, in your life, the things that bring guilt and shame, God doesn't want in there. Praise God. And this is not, God never says to you, you guilty, horrible, miserable, whatever, look at all this that's wrong in your life. He says, I want to lovingly bring out that and redeem and cleanse that. That's why I sent Jesus, that would hinder you walking in the life that I've given you. It's always in the context of love. And it's always in the context. Any correction from God or discipline, scripture says he disciplines those he loves. Hallelujah. So God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. Now in 1 Peter 2:9, this tells us how God sees us. He says, but you are a chosen people. Does anyone here ever not feel very chosen? I had an awful Monday. After everything we'd given out on Sunday, after everything we'd seen happen at the Bible school, after everything else, I felt like the most unchosen, unloved. There was just spiritual battle going on, lies flying through my head. And I knew where it was coming from. I tried to bless people over the weekend. I'd given everything that I had. And the enemy decided Monday was a good day to attack me and bring me down and tell me I was no good and worth nothing and everything else. And I felt absolutely wretched. But God said, you are chosen. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God. That, the reason you belong to me, God says, is that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. As a chosen people, he says, I've chosen you as an individual to bring you out of darkness and into my wonderful light. That's why scripture also says, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and all the rest of it. But the reason this scripture is so powerful, when we actually think about it, is often we have a little bit of light, or even quite a lot of light, but we're still carrying around things that any sin is of darkness. I mean, God's standard is way higher than often what we see. I mean, God even says, and Pastor Colin used to say this, that which is without faith is sin. Therefore, if you're not in a faith church, you're in a sin church. Oh, how offensive. How can you say that? Well, God says it. That which is without faith in our life. See, the standard's rising. Dave, do you have faith to believe that you are wretched and no good and all the rest of it, which is what the enemy is saying to you? Or do you have faith to believe you're the apple of my eye, you're a chosen person, you're part of a royal priesthood, I've brought you out of darkness into my light, you're the apple of my eye, you are precious and honoured in my sight and I love you. You see, I have to apply faith over feelings all the time, and so do you. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that you may declare the praise of him who called you. So I want us to see this very clear. We're not to live in darkness. We're called out of it. We'd have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. I'll show you how to work that out in a minute. But that's how God sees us. There's my children. They're children of light. Wow. Wow. And the battle against that in the church overall nowadays is even as to whether we're going to believe God's word. I mean, for goodness me. Oh, God doesn't mind. He just loves me. I can live how I want. No. God is holy. He's called us out of darkness into light. And that's what we're here to encourage each other to walk in the light. And that takes encouragement, doesn't it? And what partly God wants to highlight tonight is when we sin and we get guilt and shame, how he can bring us out of that guilt and shame and restore us to that place of light. But I want you to know, God wants you to know, his plan for you and me is to walk in the light. To be full of light, full of his light and presence. He doesn't say, I shine my light a bit into darkness just to cheer you up as you go around sinning. He doesn't say, it's all right to hang out and watch whatever you want on telly and listen to whatever and gossip but I'll shine my light in just so you can. No, God says, I want you to be full of light and I filled you with my Holy Spirit so you can be full of light. Hallelujah. So God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. We're in him and he's in us. So that's how he sees the standard. And the reason it sounds, oh yeah, we might say, well, I know that. But when we look at actually how we live that, do we really see ourselves as children of the light? Because often I don't feel like it. I don't feel like a child of the light quite often. Because as though you're a child of the light. So if you are that, you can live in that. Isn't that wonderful? If I don't believe I'm a child of the light, if I don't believe I have worth in God, if I don't believe I have value in him and I'm loved and accepted and I have access to him, how am I ever going to reflect and live that? Because I'll live by what I believe. And that's where faith is so important. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Now this scripture shows us how light and darkness are divided through the word of God. Hallelujah. The word of God is like Peter and Jane, 1A and 1B. And it's kind of like nice and it's kind of okay and it's there to cheer you up. There's light and darkness, as we saw last week in the heavenly realm. And God's word, which is why it's under question by those who want to live in compromise, because basically the light of God's word exposes the deeds of darkness and exposes us for what it is, because it stands right up against man's independence and sin. It comes right against the flesh. It's meant to. Well, let's look at what the Bible says about this. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. Wow, it's alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That's incredible. So when you read the word of God, people are wanting to say, well, that's not true. But basically, that's just exposing their unbelief. That's exposing they want to make excuses as to why they don't. The word of God's irrelevant. If we can bring that down and say God isn't relevant, we don't have to live in the fear of the Lord or do what he says. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So it's great to get equipped in the word because it shows us. This isn't a rant about any group or anything else. This is about the power and the truth of God's word. And if we don't believe in that, it's very hard to exercise authority when we need it and to stand on the word of God, because you're not going to stand on anything you don't value or believe. So in my heart and life, let me tell you this. Sometimes I struggle with what the word says. But I've always said, God, I may find that tough, but I submit my reason and my thinking to your word. Your word has the final say. I might not always feel like I like it. It will be convicting and challenging. But for instance, if it says to me, rejoice in the Lord always, sometimes I kind of think, how can I rejoice when I'm going through so much and I've had all this stuff happen to me and everything else? Well, the word says it. Now, that at that point, I go to God and say, God, will you reveal to me the context into which and how I can do that within the context? I mean, he's so gracious and loving. He always does. But don't take offense at the word. Why is it nowadays so many people go around saying, you offended me? You offended me by telling me what the Bible says. Because you need offending. Your unbelief and sin needs offending. It's the word of God is offensive to sin and that which stands in rebellion against him. That doesn't mean we go around deliberately offending people. You don't need to try. I mean, the woman who was caught in adultery we saw last week, go and sin no more. There was no, oh, it's okay, I'm gracious towards you. Is they don't condemn you, therefore I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. But she had to recognize she was in sin and forgiven. You know, I need to live my life. If God says it, that's it. And that's one of the hardest things in obedience. Sometimes when God tells me to speak something into someone's life, and I know it's going to be tough for the person to hear, but it's God's word. It's the thing that will bring life to the people. Now, Hebrews 4:13, it gets even bigger here. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. There is not one thing you've done today or I've done today, not one thing we've said or thought that's hidden from God's sight. Wow, the fear of the Lord. Isn't it interesting? You can see the freedom God wants in the church because we can come the way we live. I've lived in community and Pastor Connie's household, and you spend about 4 days everyone pretending and being the kind of persona you put on, but then that soon goes. And when you're traveling and ministering all over the place, I was carrying his bags and you've been away for 4 weeks and you're tired and you're just in everyday life, and someone cuts across you in the home and things like that, you soon reveals what's really there. There's no hiding. We can hide and pretend on a Sunday. We can stick our hands up, worship God. I'm not saying we're all doing, you know, we're going for God, but there is so much we can hide and pretend. How are you? Fine. And you're wondering how you're going to pay your bills next week. How are you? Fine. But you've really been struggling inside. We can hide, but there's nothing hidden. Nothing. That's why it's so good with God. I don't need to pretend. Because he knows every thought, every single bit of me. So I can just be honest with him. It's a relationship. God, you know I've been struggling with this. You know I've been struggling with that. God, you know, like, I had to feel like I haven't got an ounce of energy to keep going forward. I was walking around, one of my favourite pieces of coastline is the North Devon coastline. I lived there from the age of 7 to 12. And there's a place called Baggy Point, just beyond Croyd, where you can walk right out onto the coastline. Down by, my sister was at Lee Abbey, which is a Christian conference centre some of you will know about, but the coastline around there is absolutely beautiful. I remember just sitting down, having a break from here, crying my eyes out, feeling absolutely broken, saying, God, please don't let me have to run the church anymore. I can't handle it, the responsibility, the faith level, what we're going for. And ministers burn out all over the place. I said, but God, I love you, and if you grace me to do it, I'll keep doing it. Because your word says that you know the plans you have for me. So if it's your plan, I keep doing it. You'll grace me to do it. I'm still here today. But I didn't have to hide from God. He knew anyway. He just gave me an opportunity to pour my heart out. So we can pour our hearts out to God. There's nothing he doesn't see anyway. But it goes on to say, everything's laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, this is where we need to help people, and where there can be guilt and shame in our own lives, especially nowadays with media and everything, pornography, everything. I mean, man, everything's just thrown at everyone all the time. Back in the day, you know, when I was growing up, there weren't mobile phones, and the first ones were like a brick. I mean, and the telly you had, I can remember having BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV. That was it. And even then, the trade test card, where there was that girl feeding something. Come on, Jackie, this is bringing us all back. But I can remember too, which means I'm not so far. And there wasn't a lot to to do that. And there wasn't a lot there. The radio was, and there weren't phones where all this stuff was being phoned, and all these pictures and everything like that. And I decided a year ago, walking in the light, I'm getting rid of Sky and all of that stuff, where adverts now being phoned at me and telling me it's normal to watch, because it's an advert, things that are totally perverse. No discretion. I really don't want to know about bladder weakness. I don't want to know about all the other stuff that's just thrown out. Just no discretion, no glory or holiness. And praise God, now we just have an iPlayer, and watch iPlayer, and you can choose what you watch, and we just guard ourselves. But even on my iPad, if I watch Sky News, adverts want to fly across. I just don't want to see. But it's thrown at us all the time. And we can, often if we're going to go and sin, we want to make sure it's when no one else is about and all the rest of it. But God is about. God is about. God is with us. Jesus never eats his food, you know. You know, they say Jesus is the unseen guest at every mealtime. Whenever I set a place and put food on the plate, he never eats it. That's a joke. But he is the unseen guest in every part of our lives. He sees, and that needs to matter to us. We kind of think we can hide, kind of like if no one else is there, no one else is looking. But God is light. It should matter more to us that God sees and hears than that other people do. That's his standard. And nothing in all creation hidden from God's sight. Everything's uncovered, laid bare before him, to whom we must give an account. And Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. He may do it through someone asking you to do something and you don't want to do. Hallelujah. He may do all sorts of things. I won't embarrass the person involved, but I've got into cooking and I found this beautiful fish pie recipe. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to cook two. This was Sunday afternoon. Marion had been up north. So for when she gets there, I'm going to cook one and put the other one in the freezer. And then that's good stewardship. Then I've got another one. And I was cooking them. They're absolutely beautiful. M&S fish. Just leeks, celery. Oh, I haven't eaten all day, guys. So this is especially nice to me now. Potatoes, fluffy, just right. And God said, I want you to give one of them away. I was like, what? I want to freeze this. But the joy I had in giving it away. That's one of the reasons I like my hobby, because you can give, you can share. Jesus there barbecuing and doing all of that on the beach when they've been fishing and stuff. But I love that part of the Jesus life where you can give away and share. And the joy I had from being able to do that. But God tests the heart when he asks you to do something. God tests the heart. He sees. And sometimes he doesn't ever turn up in my room and say, Dave, now it's test the heart time with Jesus. It'll be the everyday things. And the joy that comes when you pass the test. I've just put here, just for a little freebie, the final stage of gold production involves removing impurities that remain after the smelting process. And so under heat, the impurities come to the top. It's interesting, I read this interesting thing about when you're helping people. It says if gold is heated too fast, it can become harder. You always think gold softens under thing, but if you just chuck the word at people in judgment and unkindness, if you throw too much heat, it actually hardens the heart and pushes someone away. And so I just thought that was a very interesting kind of thing, thinking about pastoral stuff and helping and not judging and all of that stuff. Be kind, be gentle, be patient, but don't let hyper grace, as it's called, let us live in a way that, well, God will forgive me anyway, it doesn't matter. Oh, it does. Oh, it does. But I just want to move on now to the second part, which is with all of that and knowing how we should live, who ever lets God down? Well, I do. I sometimes let God down. And the scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you're sitting there thinking you never let God down, you're a liar. Because the Bible says he who says he's without sin is a liar. I'm sorry, but it's just the Bible. I'm here to preach the Bible. Not, I can't really soften that up too much. Free from the past, free from guilt and shame. Now, I want to, we're looking at light and darkness here. So when we fail God, and when you go and help people in the world, often you'll find they're full of guilt and shame. Because the enemy, whenever I fail, capitalizes on it by condemning, accusing, and trying to make me feel I'm less than who God says I am. He wants to rob my confidence. Well, let's look at the good news of God's intention for us. Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. Now, this is God's intention for your life. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Now, that's not just a quick introductory line. I love it that Paul recognized he was doing what he was doing because God wanted him to. That's important in our lives. We know we're doing what we're doing and where we are because God wants us where we are, because that will get you through hardship. You know, if I know God wants me here, it will get me through anything because God wants me here. Amen. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, and he starts with this, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Great. There's his ministry. God says, he comes along and says, right, we've got some things to sort out here, but receive grace and peace from Jesus, because it's only from the platform of the blood and grace and peace that you're going to be free from guilt and shame. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And this is the thing to highlight. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He's chosen you and me. This is such a key to have to remember. God's chosen me and you to be holy and blameless in his sight. And I love this because he did it before he said, let there be light. He did it before the creation of the world. God existed before the creation of the world. And he had you in mind, and he chose you not to be guilty or full of shame or all of that. He chose you to be holy and blameless in his sight. So when he looks at you through the blood, he sees a holy and blameless one. Now just think about those regrets for a minute, or guilt and shame that you've carried around in any area in your life. God's chosen you to be holy and blameless. That means blameless of that guilt and shame. Wow. Should we finish there and I'll go to the fish and chip shop? Or do you want some more? I'm telling you, this is good because we're not playing with games here. We're dealing with the word of God. So he didn't choose me to live a guilt-filled life, even though he knew I'd fail sometimes. He chose me to be holy and blameless. So there must be something coming up that where I fail, he can take my guilt and shame away and I can live without one bit of guilt about anything I've ever done in my life. Or shame. And you'll notice if you sin, the first thing you'll find is you'll feel shame and guilt. But he took all our guilt and shame upon himself. Wow. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So he hasn't reluctantly chosen us. It's his good pleasure that we're his children. Now, I might not feel like a very good child, son, sometimes, but God delights in me because he sees me through the blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head. Now, don't worry about that for a minute. We haven't got time to unpack all of it. But in him, we were also chosen. And I speak those things over my life. God, thank you today. You've called me. You've chosen me. You've loved me and you've accepted me. So now this is the easy one. If others therefore have a problem with me, you know, as long as I'm seeking to live before God and I'm not going around thinking and spoiling people's lives and thinking, well, I'm chosen in God. You're not living in the chosenness if you're doing that. But as long as you're living before God as best as you know how, submit to him, you can always start the day with thankfulness to God, saying, God, thank you for choosing me before the creation of the world. And thank you for making me holy and blameless in your sight. If anyone else has a problem with me, it's their problem because you don't have a problem with me. Here's the big one. Guess who has the biggest problem with me? Me. And probably, if I can say this, guess who has the biggest problem with you? You. But God doesn't have a problem with you. God doesn't have a problem with you. You are holy and blameless, without fault in his sight. Wow. So I have to learn, this is my probably the biggest battle I have in my life, is learning to accept how God sees me, because I feel totally unworthy. I feel totally undeserving. And even Marion said to me last night, because I want to live such a high standard. And basically, I wanted to have a beer. And I said, better not have a beer. I mean, guys, I've been fasting on and off for days. I've been fasting all day today, and it's still not enough for me. I haven't eaten all day, but something in me says it's not enough. And God says it's more than enough. And Marion just turned to me and she said, look, are you being too hard on yourself again? Because she says, you're harder on yourself than God is. Wow. And somehow that can seem spiritual, but it's not. It's not at all spiritual. Living beyond the grace God has given, even in self-righteous acts, can be sin. Because the scripture says, I have no righteousness of my own, but Christ is my righteousness. He says, all your works outside of me. I mean, this gets disgusting. He says, are as filthy rags. Let's not expand on that, but I know what he means by that. He says, you just don't want to know. I don't want to know. You trying to walk outside of me in the good of what I've given and done for you is just, don't go there. So for me in my own life, knowing that I can mess up and get it wrong, knowing I can have the attitudes, knowing I can sin and fail, can highlight so much. And God says, holy and blameless. But God, I feel awful. Called and chosen. But God, I just haven't loved you how I should. I love you with an everlasting love. It's not a game. It's what Jesus died on the cross for. We need to leave here tonight without 1 ounce of guilt or shame, receiving God's total forgiveness and leaping for joy in how God sees us. In him I've been chosen, predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to his will, with the purpose of his will, in order that I may be the first hope in Christ. Might be for the praise of his glory. I might live praising God for his goodness, praising God for the way I can be a blessing to other people, praising God that because I'm so free in him, I've got rid of all my hang-ups and all my insecurities, I can go and give into other people's lives in very simple ways. That's why I say I love my hobby, because that cake, one of my neighbours was going through a very hard time, so he had some. You had some. I forget who else had it, but we shared. I was so blessed going and giving this. It made me feel so good to share out of what God had given me. But behind it was the light and life of God and the joy of the Lord and the blessing of God. Right, I need to move on very, very quickly. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, basically, all of that we can summarize and said, God has called you. God has chosen you. There used to be, maybe still is, a little character called Garfield. When I was about 20 years old, Garfield was this complacent cat. And when I lived at Pastor Colin's house, in my bedroom, I had a poster on the wall of Garfield looking very sorry for himself, saying, why me? And Pastor Colin, for whatever reason, was in my room one day chatting, and he looked and he said, it said, why me? And he said, well, why not? Wow. What do you mean, why not? Well, why couldn't God use you? Why couldn't God choose you? Well, I went to boarding school and this happened and that happened and I've done this and I've done that and I've messed my life up and I've done the other. And I gave a whole catalogue of things as to why me? And God and Jesus comes and he loves clearing messes up and he loves washing away sin and he loves taking away guilt and shame. But our problem is we often live as though he hasn't done it. I feel so guilty. Yeah, you feel what you like. Your feelings are the most unreliable things you have. I faith acceptance. I faith chosenness. I faith holy and blameless in his sight. And because of my past in the natural, I'm an incredibly insecure person. The fact I'm standing here tonight, it shows God's goodness. I mean, I might sound confident, but honestly, I can tell you that's just years of God doing stuff, and I'm not confident in me at all. 2 days ago, I wondered how I'd ever have anything for tonight. Honestly, I mean it with all my heart. I said, God, unless you show me what to do tonight, I haven't got a clue. In fact, when we launched Truth Bible School, it was all launched and ready and getting people to sign up. I didn't have a clue what we were doing on week one. But that's where God wants me, dependent on him. He doesn't want me to come up with some experience. He wants to flow through and change lives. Now, we're gonna head towards the finishing line with this. Now, that book that I made available, I've still got some upstairs if you need them, The First Minute by Pastor Colin. This is talking about how we approach God every day with it in mind, how he sees us. And he put this, he chose you, God chose you, and you might want to sound your breath to yourself now, God chose me to be blameless in his sight. Just think about that. God, thank you, you've chosen me to be blameless in your sight, that whenever you look at me, there's no blame, guilt or shame. When he forgave you, he removed all your guilt. When he forgave you, he removed all your guilt. Now, just think for a minute. I'm jumping ahead here. If there's any area of guilt in your life, I didn't do this enough, I could have done that. When he forgave you, he removed it. So if that guilt's there, it's not from God. If that guilt is there, it's not from God. So great is his love and acceptance. He no longer blames you for the sin that was clearly your fault. I'm without blame. God hates it when we blame other people because he doesn't blame us. The world's full of passing the blame. But we're blameless in God's sight. To God, it's as though those things no longer exist. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from you. Even it's not healthy to say, if only I'd have done that differently, if only I could. You can't. You can't live it again. So God says, because I know you can't live it again or go back on what you did. What I'm actually going to do is I'm going to remove it from you. As though it never happened. And where it needs redeeming, I will redeem the consequence of what you did. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One, Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son, for leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. So we've got some things to think about tonight, because if you've taken away the sin that was clearly my fault and you've made it as though it doesn't exist, why am I still thinking about it? Why am I living in regret? You've taken it away and you've made it as though it never happened. He does not blame you now for the things for which you were clearly responsible. This is an amazing and liberating truth. You hit that one on the head, Pastor Colin. This is an amazing and liberating truth if you'll take hold of it and believe it. If you'll take hold of that, and if I'll take hold of that and believe it, it's an amazing and liberating truth that God has forgotten, removed, and has created, moved things in the heavenly realm as though it never happened. And even if it was like something really, really bad, let's just say you messed up your marriage and you had an affair or something, there can be outworking consequences, but God can redeem that where a heart is open for redemption and take away the hurt, guilt, shame and pain. I mean, that to me is like one of the massive ones. But you either believe that God says, no, that was a big one, so you're going to live in the guilt and shame for the pain you caused other people and all the rest of it. Pain you caused other people? Well, if you cause me pain, I take that to the cross and I get healed of that pain. That's up to the other person as to whether they're going to forgive and be free from that pain. Doesn't that sound a tall order? But then Jesus dying on the cross, I think, was a very tall order. He covered it. Otherwise, we say the blood isn't sufficient. Well, it is. Hallelujah. So the sin for which we were clearly responsible, God has removed from us. And it's as though those things no longer exist. Right, I need to finish now. 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. This is God's plan here. He will keep you strong to the end. Oh, that's what the word says. I thank you today, God, you're going to keep me strong to the end, so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I get to heaven, to the judgment throne, that's why you keep a short account with God. If you do fail, you repent, and if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When I stand before God, he says, oh, here's one of my blameless ones. Hi, Dave. Come and enter your eternal rest. And here's your reward. Hope is a yacht on the river of life. Listen, if you're blaming yourself for something today and you have guilt and shame, you're not believing that Jesus is able to present you blameless. He can only present you blameless if he's made you blameless, because you're not blameless apart from him, and nor am I. So his blood makes us blameless, and therefore we can be presented blameless. So when the devil comes and says, Dave, you really messed up with that, say, well, you better talk to God about that, because if you've got a problem, it's with him. Because he's taken the blame through the blood. So have a chat with him and leave me alone. Because I'm enjoying being blameless. And what a way to treat other people. Because once we get that revelation ourselves, we can be quicker to forgive. You know, I'm quicker than I used to be. I still get wound up with things and all the rest of it. But I try to be quick to forgive and treat people how God treats me. You begin. Now, this is from Pastor Collins, the first minute thing. So listen to this really carefully as we finish. You begin from a place of being blameless before God. You do not start as one being bound by sin and failure. So if you're a born again Christian, God sees you as holy and blameless in his sight, because he can only see you through the blood. So when you do sin or fail, you don't go around saying, I'm such a miserable failure. You say, I'm holy and blameless in his sight through the blood of Jesus. The Lord forgives and restores you to the place of being blameless and guiltless before him. So great is his mercy and love towards you. Most people, I would like to suggest, go around thinking they're sinful Christians messing up and getting it wrong. And God, if you forgive me, I'll come back to some kind of level of holiness and blamelessness. If that's okay with you, God. And God says, no, I see you as holy and blameless. You go off and mess up. I want you to come back into that position that I've already given you. Being a Christian is not a self-improvement program. It's living in the glory and victory of what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross and bringing that into and living into what's already happened. I can never attain holiness and righteousness in my own strength. I can try to be the best Christian ever, even if I did all the right things and none of it would qualify anything. It's the blood of Jesus that's my qualification. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you look at a holy and blameless man of God, and I look at holy and blameless men and women of God. That's who you are. So if we're carrying guilt and shame, we're carrying something the enemy's placed and not God, because God's removed it. We're going to leave here happy tonight. So, and then I'll hand this out on these sheets. On the back, so I've given you the scripture references, and then I've got the let's get practical and to make it work. So we'll just finish now with the let's get practical, what we can take away from this and build it in, and then how to make it, these truths work for us. We'll then pray. I'm not going to minister tonight, because I think we need to respond individually to God tonight with this. And I had a picture of a bin here, and get you to write down anything you've ever felt, you guilt or shame that God would have been speaking to you by the Spirit tonight, because that's what he showed me you do, and put it in the bin. I thought, well, that's no good, because that's not going to work, because that means it's somewhere that could be returned to. But if you sit and give it to God, so far as east is from the west, he removes it. That's far better than the bin, because it's gone and forgotten and is no longer part of you. Let's get practical. Question: when the Holy Spirit moves, he reveals hidden things. Guilt and shame have no place in the life of a believer who's repented and been restored to God. However, many Christians carry guilt and shame. Today we've been taught that through the blood of Jesus we're guiltless and blameless before him. So what God wants to do, just like as the heat of the word's gone out tonight, remember the blackberries, remember the gold. You guys look wonderful. You're born again, spirit-filled believers. But tonight, as I've been speaking, as God's been speaking through me, maybe some things of guilt and shame have come to the top, and God just wants to scoop it off and remove it by the blood, and you can give it to him in a minute. Leaving here guiltless. To make it work, these wonderful truths we can... Sorry, I've put these wonderful truths being... So I've done a spelling mistake. It says these wonderful truths being we can. These wonderful truths mean we can leave this session totally free from any guilt and shame. Can you believe that? As the Holy Spirit's been speaking into your heart, he will have been revealing any areas of guilt and shame you've been carrying. This may have been from something years ago that the enemy keeps coming back at you on, to live in permanent regret and shame, feeling guilty and robbing you of the freedom Jesus paid the price for. So how to be free? Thank God. This is very simple. Don't need anything heavy. Just by faith, thank God for the blood of Jesus, that through that blood you are holy and blameless in his sight. And therefore we can be holy and blameless in our sight. That's tougher. We think we can be homely and blameless in his sight, and we still blame ourselves. Think about it, we do. I do. But where there's light, I realise if I'm holy and blameless in God's sight, I'm holy and blameless in my sight. Hallelujah. Because the blood of Jesus has purified me and cleansed me from all sin, guilt and shame. And I haven't put this on your thing, but I know that there's things where people struggle with sin and all sorts of other stuff, and this is just a separate thing. But there's a couple of things that can help. Live accountable. If you're struggling, don't bury it because God sees it. Someone you trust, they'll keep it confidential, they'll stand with you in prayer. If there's an area, live accountable. Just say, I want to get through this bit. There's been some things in my life sometimes, but most things I just do on my own, but there are a few things I've needed a bit of help with, and I'll phone up a pastor or a leader or a friend away from the situation here and say, look, the enemy's trying to pull me down on this. I just need some encouragement and support. I want to make myself accountable just for a few weeks to get through this. And it does the trick. Well, it's not a trick, but it just gives me that extra motivation if I know I'm going to have to chat and tell someone how I'm getting on. Make yourself accountable. Don't hide and see, guilt and shame wants us to hide and thinks, oh, what will they think of me if they knew that? Holy and blameless, cleansed by the blood. Let's just keep walking in that and help you get, see the different thing. Guilt and shame pulls us down. And so again, it's just that making yourself accountable, stay in fellowship, don't hide. Walk in the light as he is in the light. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. But be careful who, these things are valuable. Don't just share them to anyone. Really, I mean, I've got people in my life that I was speaking to today, not to do with anything like that, but a pastor friend I was talking to today. I've got another pastor friend coming from out of town to see me Wednesday. And just in conversation and love, we just keep our lives. How are things going with the church? What's happening? How are you doing? What's going on? We're not islands. We know what the enemy's like. We chat, we share. You know, accountability is so important, because if the enemy can isolate you and make you hide in the corner in guilt and shame, you're isolated. And then you've got all this stress of trying to hide and pretend. No. Don't do that. Don't live like that. Make yourself accountable. And that's just, I don't want to over highlight that, because this is to do with any guilt and shame on our lives we've had whatsoever. And so we're just going to spend a few minutes praying now. If you're listening on the recording, I'm about to shut the recording off, but you can just pray. Spend some time with the Lord. Make sure you're in a good church. It's a faith church and not a sin church, where the word of God is preached powerfully. Get help if you need to walk in this wonderful revelation and truth that you are holy and blameless in God's sight. Get rid of guilt and shame through prayer. Give it to the Lord and he will bless you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.